thankful for having God in my life. Can't say enough.
Amen, amen, amen. Oh, yes, there we go. Thank you, Lord. God is good. Suffering for salvation. We are healed by suffering of the Lord. I want to tell you about Noreen. Noreen, I met my wife about a year before. I had a small group of particularly hurting people, and Noreen was one of them. And she had a slight mental thing going on, and was challenged in her life, and was incredibly fearful of pain, just terrified of pain. And so she had all these mechanisms in her life to help her avoid pain, and perhaps you can relate to that. But it's kind of like this rope that's all tied up tight, and you begin to you know, people come in looking for a release from pain and looking for answers from the Lord, and what happens is we begin to untwist the pain in their lives, right? And you kind of get in there, and it can get a little bit scary. I mean, it can sometimes feel a little bit overwhelming because you get in there and boom, snaps right back. Began to try to minister to Noreen and began to try to help her in her situation. She was a married lady, away from her husband because she was terrified of her husband. She was terrified of pain. One of the pains that she was most terrified of was childbirth. And because she was afraid of childbirth, she was desperately afraid of becoming pregnant. And so she was desperately afraid of having intercourse with her husband. And her husband is Mormon and is telling her how, if everything works out for them, that they would go to heaven and populate an entire planet, which terrifies her even more. And so she's pulling away from her husband, and he, being a particularly nefarious man, would threaten her with putting her in an insane asylum if she would not respond to his advances. There are lives that are just twisted with pain. The Lord has called us to become invested in those lives and to be healers. I came across this story this week and was just stricken by it. Story of sex trafficking. This woman, 23 years old, kidnapped at 12, forced into the sex slave industry where she would work from 10 a.m. to midnight, 7 days a week, until she was 23 years old. She's taking a picture of her at 23 years old. See a picture of that young lady. And that's just a picture of pain, picture of a twisted life. You try and untwist it with the love of God and the power of God and the concern of God. And she so desperately needs. They estimated that she had over 43,000 clients before she's 23. Such pain. Such destruction. And we're surrounded by it. We are surrounded by drama. Her name is Carla Jacinto. In this series, final message on the series, filling up on Philippians, finding fullness in Christ. And so many of us have come empty, We are surrounded by those that are suffering from emptiness. We are surrounded by a world that needs healing, and the Lord has invested in us and has healed us so that we can be agents of healings, because we are here to heal. Amen? The Lord has called us out of darkness to become involved in the lives that are around us. We're going to be talking about that today. Paul says that, Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, that God has given us the ability to suffer. You don't hear that listed in the gifts of the Holy Spirit so much. Chapter 3, verses 10 and 11 in Philippians, he says that we are called to follow Christ in his suffering. That in our suffering, as Christ suffered and we are healed as a result of his suffering, there is suffering that we would undergo, that we would experience, so that there might be suffering, or there won't be a release of suffering from those that are around us. For the Noreens of the world, for the Carlas of the world that are just savaged by life, that the Lord has given us light to have an impact. We're here to heal. Come to this final chapter of Philippians, and Paul is writing to the Philippians, say, get engaged, get involved, put on the mind of Christ, put on the life of Christ, and touch somebody's life. And he says it not just to the church in Philippi, but he says that to the church in San Diego. And he says that to the church in City Heights. And he says that to the people right here in this room, that we are called to be a light in the darkness, that those around us might have hope and we might be a guide to them, that they might find healing. Amen? It will create pain in your life. You get involved in these lives and you get into, I mean, there were so many examples that I could have shared instead of Noreen. And you get in, and you get in, and it's just a tangled mess. You get in there, and it takes an investment. Message is titled, Suffering for Salvation, Somebody Else's. Amen? All right, let's take a look. Back to the beginning, verse 2 of chapter 4. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Synecdoche to be of the same mind and the same, to be in the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Amen? Amen? There's some drama going on in Philippi. And Paul is saying, yeah, these two ladies, they just can't seem to get along. Paul says, get involved. Deal with this drama. And can you imagine? I mean, we assume, and you read this, that it's not a theological issue, that nobody's going to hell because of this, and it's not heresy or anything like that, or Paul would have jumped in and said, hey, Euodia's wrong, Synecdoche's wrong, whatever, we got to fix all this stuff. But it seems to be a clash of personalities. And it's having an impact on the church, so much so that it reaches, news of it reaches Paul in jail in Rome. It is significant enough that it makes the Bible. Can you imagine in heaven, you know, oh, Euodia, oh, yeah, Philippians chapter 1. For eternity, Euodia and Synecdoche are famous for their argument. Paul says, get engaged. Paul says, get involved. Personalities. Help these ladies work it out. There's not just one twist going on, there's two twists going on. Get in there and start working it out. There's drama in Philippi, drama in the church. Many of you have come to this church because you've had enough drama. Can I get a witness on that? It's like, man, I don't need no more drama. I'm leaving the street, I'm leaving the hood because I don't want any more drama. And amazingly, you can come to church and find what? Drama. Right there, Euodia and Synecdoche. It's in the Bible. You come here to City Heights Assembly and you find some drama and you think something's going wrong. Well, opportunity for you to get engaged. Why? Because we're here to heal and you're here to heal. You can either get healed or you can heal. And if you get healed, you're supposed to be a healer. Amen?
Amen.
We're here to heal. And he says, let me tell you how you can work this out. You got the drama, you got Synecdoche, you got Yodia, man, they're doing all this stuff. You know, there's an answer to all that drama. Rejoice. The Lord is near. Put a focus on God. Say, man, I am rejoicing. You know, heaven is coming. Can I get a witness on that? And whatever drama you've got going on around you. I had some prayers this morning. Guess what? There's drama going on. You got loved ones. You got people you know. Issues going on. Sickness coming on. Whatever your drama is, put a focus on God and you can rejoice that he is close. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's keep on going. It says, let your gentleness be. I got to let you know. And for some of you, this might not be a news blast. I am not the most gentle person around. See, you've discovered that already. If you're new here, you'll find that out. Let your gentleness, see, but what gentleness I've got, you can see it. There's not much there, but I try and put it out there. All right. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul is telling us how to live our lives beyond the drama. How we can get past the drama. Why? Because your drama can get you off track. Anybody been off track?
Yeah.
Hurts, habits, and hangups. Come Monday night. Roki and the crew will help you get back on track. You can be anxious. You can begin to worry. We have great philosophers of our time. Bob Marley, don't worry, be happy. Paul goes a little bit deeper than that. Can I get a witness on that? He says, take all your worries and lay them at the feet of God. You say, how do I do that? Look at this little child. When our babies, Joe, 6'4", Leanne, 20 years old, were little babies like this, my wife would be terrified of the world that was waiting for them. Any of you moms relate? Oh yeah, what kind of world they're gonna grow up in? And you can become anxious and you can worry, right? And you take this little, picture this little infant. I mean, we got little infants, little Ezekiel right over here, man. Consider taking this child and laying this child at the foot of the throne of God. And you say, Lord, I'm going to take my care and I'm going to trust her to you. Can you imagine the feeling of peace that would begin to overflow as you saw your child at the foot of the throne of God? Can you feel that? Can you feel that? She's going, yeah, I can. So all your cares, all your concerns, if you can take them and lay them at the foot of the throne of God, what will happen is you'll begin to see how much bigger God is than your trouble. You will see how much bigger God is than your drama, and the peace of God will begin to guard your mind and your heart. Where what attacks? Worry and anxiety. Amen?
Amen?
Look at that little baby laying at the foot of God. He says, this will work for Yodia and Synecdoche. He says, this will work for the people that are working with Yodia and Synecdoche, and it will work in City Heights, and it will work for you. Take all your care, all your concerns, all your anxieties. Jimmy, you can take your grandmother, who doesn't look a lot like that baby, but you can take Jean, who's struggling with learning how to walk again and dealing with her hip, and she's at home now and she's doing better, and you can lay her at the foot of the throne of God.
Yeah.
And you can begin to be comforted. So I come to a question that many are asking today. What? We talk about drama. We talk about challenges. We talk about worry. And we talk about fear. What do we do with ISIS? Anybody interested? First thing we have to... Who was that? Just Walter? No, Roki. Okay. All right. The rest of you guys don't have to pay attention. Me and Roki will talk. First thing you have to do is define we. Is the we you're talking about the United States? Or is the we you're talking about the church? Because when you define we as the United States, the primary responsibility of the government of the United States is to protect its citizens. Amen? And so, because ISIS is a threat, terrorist-wise and worldwide, the United States should respond in a way to protect us. And one person who voices that sentiment in a unfiltered way is Donald Trump. You know, I was like, whoa, man. But I'll tell you what, you know, he just says, hey, I'm president, we're going after these guys, we're going to take the oil, we're going to take all this stuff, bam, bam, bam. He said, we're going to kill them. Some of you guys are a little bit more mellow. Well, you know, we got to be kind. We got to. If we define, you know, I'm not saying I'm voting for Trump. I'm just saying that if you listen to him, you get a real clear picture of what that is, because he's really not holding anything back. If you define us as the church, it's a whole different ballgame. Because the church's responsibility is not protecting the citizens of the United States. The church's responsibility is not even protecting the citizens of the kingdom of God. The responsibility of the church is to tell people about the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Amen? That we are supposed to be out there as light in the darkness, and some of the people who need the Lord the most of all are the ones that are terrifying the United States and the rest of the world. Yep. Like, whoa, I don't know about this. Paul says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. But against spiritual, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. And those freedom fighters, jihadists, whatever you want to call them, that are involved in ISIS are buying a lie of the devil.
That's right.
Saying, hey, you blow yourself up, there's 70 virgins or some number of virgins waiting for you in paradise, and you're going to be hooked up, and that's just a lie.
Yeah.
And so they blow themselves up and a bunch of people, and they go straight to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a sufferer, and they're going, I've been ripped off. Right, you've been ripped off. What's our response? Prayer. There is a spiritual battle that is going on in the heavenly places, and our job as the church is to pray. We can pray for wisdom for the United States, for protection. We can pray that the Lord's will would be done. We can pray the kingdom of God advance. And you can read Revelation, because I'll tell you what, I believe it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Amen?
Amen? Does that make sense? Because so many people want to equate the church with the United States. It's not that way. All right, we're moving on. These guys, Open Doors, they are feeding Christian families in Syria. This is something that we can participate in. $50 feeds a family, a Christian family, in Syria for 1 month. All right? I've not talked to anybody. I think I talked to my wife about this. We're going to take an offering on our Christmas Eve service. The entire offering is going to go to Open Doors. We're going to feed families and care for families. And you're going, oh, okay. All right, this is what I want you to do. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tithe on Christmas. Every present, every food element, everything that I buy for Christmas, I'm going to tithe on it for that. You're going to buy yourself a $15,000 car? Rock the house! $1,500. Open Doors. Plan on it. You're saying, I can't afford it. Buy your stuff online. There's no tax. You take all the tax that would go to California and send it right to some hungry Christian families. Can you imagine if the head of the household had been crucified and they're sitting there in some type of housing facility or some refugee camp at Christmas time? Help me now. This is a great idea, isn't it?
Amen.
Great idea. Tithe on Christmas. Plan for it. Buy your kids 10% less stuff. You know what? Anyway, all right, here we go. Put on the mind of Christ. For some of you, you're going to have to put on the mind of Christ to tithe on Christmas. I've never heard of anybody tithing on Christmas before. We're going to tithe on Christmas. Praise the Lord. Because why? Putting on a new way of thinking. Paul has a new way of thinking. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. All right? This is a new way of thinking, and he tells us to focus on this list that I have up here. And you look at that list, it's a good list. Can I get a witness on that? Now what I have done is I have put the antonyms of those, the opposites of those. Instead of thinking about what is true, you think about what is false. And you know what? There's a whole lot of people that are propagating lies around us. Amen? Yeah. Think about what is noble. Think about what is undignified. And I tell you what, as you surf the internet, there is so much that is undignified, you have to protect yourselves. Instead of focusing on what is right, focusing on what is wrong. You see our universities just being propagated with what is wrong. See, what is vulgar, what is repulsive, what is shameful, what is inferior, and what is dishonorable. Our culture rejoices in so much of what is on the right-hand side as opposed to what is on the left-hand side. So we have to redirect our thoughts, redirect our focus, redirect our concentration, and we have to protect ourselves from these things, from coming in. Paul says, let a mental transformation happen in your life. Put on the mind of Christ. And you say, there's too much going on. I'm overwhelmed by the negative. I'm overwhelmed by ISIS. I'm overwhelmed by the fear of just going out. I feel like Noreen, man. I'm just terrified. I'm terrified. Paul's writing this from a Roman prison for preaching the gospel. And if he can say, put on the mind of Christ, if he can say, focus on these things for being unjustly imprisoned, I think, remember, John the Baptist had been beheaded as a party favor. Paul is in prison, eventually crucified. Peter gets crucified. James is killed by the sword. All of the disciples are martyred for Christ. And this is normal stuff except for John, who is boiled in oil. In the midst of all of our drama, Paul says, start changing things up. Get engaged. Get involved. It'll take some work. And you got to keep at it, or it'll all disappear. That false, undignified, wrong, vulgar, repulsive, shameful, inferior, dishonorable stuff will just come over and overwhelm your life. He says, I need to get you untwisted so that you can help the people around you get untwisted. I need you to experience the power of God so that you can be a vehicle of the power of God for the lives around you. And the devil ain't going to like it. The devil's going to have his minions. They're going to lie to them. He's going to cause them to step into your life and try and get you off track. Don't let it happen. Put on the mind of Christ. Put a focus on the true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. And no matter how bad it gets. Because I tell you what, man, I've been in some situations where I start untwisting some stuff. And I am telling you, man, you get close to this stuff, it's like, it kind of gives you the creeps. I'm telling you, just some dysfunctional systems. I've been trying to counsel this dude, tweaking for 30 days straight, watching this slasher flick with his little two-year-old daughter sitting right next to him. And he's sitting in here going, oh, I'm freaking out here, man. It's so bad when you get in so deep. God says you're here to heal. Be healed and be a healer. It's going to take my power to get it done. Amen? All righty, let's see what else we got going on here. Paul has a new way of thinking. Paul has a new way of acting. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Just do it. Get in it and get it done. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 15, verse 13. He says, For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. Jesus speaking, Gospel of John chapter 13, verse 15. I have set for you an example that you should do as I have done for you. God makes sure we have examples that we can follow. Amen? You come to this church, there will be some examples that you will be able to grab onto and follow. You got a trouble with your next step, there's somebody next to you who is stepping. You say, oh, that's how you do that. And you can step right into it. There's going to be Euodia and Synecdoche around here too. And you know what? There are opportunities for you to get engaged. Because the step that you took, you can help somebody else take that very same step. Amen? Amen. We're here to heal. The power of God, you receive the power of God, and you can be the power of God to somebody else who needs a guide. Amen? Are we okay? It's kind of quiet, except for Tommy. All righty. Paul's saying, grab on. You hear it, do it. You read it, do it. You see it, do it. Because you don't have to. When I was 18, I had 2 DUIs in 6 months. After my second DUI, I mean, I can't even imagine. I mean, I think I'd be in prison today if I had 2 DUIs. One of them was a stolen vehicle. Felony. But after the second one, I said, God, I'm out of control here. And I got a job. It was summertime. I got a job with the most, I didn't know that very many Christian guys, but the most Christian guy I knew, who wasn't really all that Christian, but he was the most Christian guy I knew. I got a job at a wholesale tire shop pulling tires, and we would ship them out. And there's this guy, Pete, radically saved by God. He's talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, loving God, just shining the light. And God puts me right in the midst of it all, gives me an avenue and an opportunity to follow. Didn't get it. Didn't take the opportunity. My brother, I had him work. He met Pete. He went to church with Pete, got transformed. Couldn't do it. Couldn't figure it out. What's up with Pete, man? He's a nut. The summer ended. I went back to Fresno City College. 2 months, I started using again. And I lost 10 years of my life. Leanne be sitting here 30 years old. Joe be 28. I'd probably be, you know, I'm noticing little kids now. I mean, how old's that baby? You know what? I'm grandpa age, but you know what? I lost 10 years out of my life. I'm ready for a grandbaby. I don't want any more babies, that's for sure, but I wouldn't mind having one visit every once in a while. All right. Here we go. Contentment is key. Contentment is key, because talk about putting on the mind of Christ or put on the life of Christ. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living plenty or in want. Paul's writing this from a Roman jail. I got to imagine that he is experiencing the want and the hunger at this time. They did not feed you in Roman prison. You had to have friends and family bring you food or you would starve. It was a lot more cost efficient that way. They have cable. Paul has come to an understanding. I'm going the Lord's way. Man, he calls me to a bunch, he calls me a little, whatever it is. I'm here to heal. I'm here to be a healer for those around me. I'm here to be an avenue for the power of God in people's lives. See, because our concern can become too much on what we got going on. Paul's concern is how close am I getting to the purpose that God has for my life? Because if I lined up on the purpose of God for my life, what I've got doesn't really matter because I'm working for the retirement. Amen? We're here to heal. We're here to be healed. And the worst thing that the enemy can do to you is get you to your reward quicker than you're online to do already. He says, I'm fine wherever the Lord has placed me. You say, how can he say that in a Roman prison? Where God's got me today, man, I'm preaching to the guards. I'm not here, man. People are preaching all around me, and I'm writing a letter to you guys in Philippi. Start preaching. Start being a witness. Start healing those around you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Last thing we got. All things are possible with God.
That's right.
Amen. Whew! If you want to memorize something, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Glory, glory, glory.
Amen.
See, when you're heading in God's direction, you get God's power.
Paul's
sitting in prison. He's thinking, well, man, if he had God's power, he wouldn't be in prison. Man, you got God's power, no matter where you at. Man, I got the power of God. I'm fine. He's discovered this in his life. Man, I am focused on working the plan of God. Met the Lord on the road to Damascus. Said, why are you persecuting me? And was blind for 3 days. God got his attention. Amen? Has God got your attention? Has the Lord shaken you? He says, I want to experience the power of God. Paul was in jail in Philippi and got busted loose by an earthquake. That has experienced the power of God. Can I get a witness on that? Paul on the island of Malta is loading the firewood up and gets bitten by a poisonous snake. And all the natives go, whoa, this guy's dropping dead, man. He is cursed by God, and God just heals him right there. He was stoned in Lystra. When they stone you, they throw so many rocks on you that you are covered with rocks. Lord raises them right up, knocks them rocks right off. Says, man, wherever God has me, that's where I'm good. At least you can come up and sing. We're here to heal. Paul says, my concern is being on track with God and the plan that God has for me and doing the things that God has for me to do. Because when I'm on track with God, I get the power of God. When I get the power of God, I am invincible.
Amen.
And I'm just fine wherever I'm at. And I'm fine if he calls me out to come back and minister with you. And I'm fine if he just wants to take me right to heaven. But I'm here to heal. The message for City Heights this morning is that we are to be healers. That we are to take the knowledge and the understanding of Christ in our lives. And that there are those people that are around us that are like Noreen. That whose lives are so twisted with hurt and pain. Or this young lady, Carla, 3 years older than my daughter, 43,000 clients. Can you imagine the pain in that life? It takes somebody with the power of God to step into that, to begin to make a difference in that life, to just snap back with the power of God. Just break off the bounds and start untwisting the pain. And all of a sudden, there's success. And there is light that comes in. And there's liberty and there's freedom. And you see deliverance that would come.
Yes.
And it doesn't snap back. Oh, the ministry that a young lady like Carla could have. To those who have been in a like situation. I don't know why you're here. I know why some of you are here today. But some of you come walking in here today, and this is a picture of your life just twisted. Twisted with pain, twisted with torment. You're going, oh, that I could be set free. Oh, that I could find the power of Christ in my life. Well, he's here this morning. He says, I'll set you free. Lord, I come to you this morning knowing that you are mighty and awesome, Lord. And I know, Lord, I have been set free. I had a life full of pain. And I kept twisting back and twisting back and twisting back. Until 25 years ago, I said, Lord, you can have my life. The Holy Spirit came into my life and busted the bonds off the enemy had placed there as a child. Set me free. Some of you come here this morning shackled with pain. Feel like Noreen, feel like Carla, feel like me. In your heart, you're going, oh, Lord, that I could break free. Well, I'll tell you this morning, the Holy Spirit is here. Will break you out of your bondage, out of your cage, out of your jail. He'll heal you so that you can be a healer. Nobody looking around this morning and you're saying, I desperately want to be healed in my life. I want to be set free. I want to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my life and transform me so that I might experience new life in him. I want to put on the mind of Christ. I want to step into the life of Christ. I want to be a new creation. I want to have my citizenship in heaven. I want to know him as my Savior and my Redeemer with nobody looking around. And that is you this morning. I just want you to say, God, that is me. I want to know you. Here I am. I am a candidate for heaven, Lord. Set me free and save me. I just want you to slide your hand up and say, that's me this morning. Right here. Somebody else will say, that is me. Right here. Somebody else will say, that is me. That is me. That is me. Set me free, Lord. Anybody else in this place? 25 years ago, man, I was slow. Lord was speaking to me, say, you better put your hand up. Pastor said, I'm going to wait just one more time. My legs were like they were on fire. That's you this morning. The Lord's speaking to your heart. Didn't put your hand up before. The Lord's right now just speaking to your heart. So that's me. I just want you to slide your hand up quick. Slide your hand up quick. Somebody else. Right here. Anybody else? Back here. I see that. Anybody else? So that's me. One last little thing. You've been set free from your past. You're untwisted. There's drama around you. And you're going, oh, Lord. I don't want to step into that. And the Holy Spirit is saying right now, you are the tool that I have chosen to impact those lives. Just in prayer. Part of that story about Carla. When she was 14, the police raided the place where she was at. And all the girls, the little girls down to 10 years old, believed that they were being set free. And the police who came in were not looking to set them free, but merely looking for sexual favors. Jesus. And they left them. She stayed there for another 8 or 9 years. That person that you see that has the drama around you, that you are in the specific place to reach out and touch and to alleviate the pain and suffering in that life with the power of the Holy Spirit, right now the Lord is saying, I have chosen you to be a healer. I have healed you for a purpose, and it is this. Trust me. Lay your anxiety, lay your worry at the foot of my throne. You will see how big that I am. And I will guide you, and you will be invincible. Lord Jesus, I pray for those that you are speaking to. Lord, I pray, Lord, power to pierce the pain of people's lives, and that you would be glorified in it. In Jesus' name.